Bob, you are a Christian comedian. What is a Christian comedian versus any other kind of comedian?
That's a great question. A Christian comedian basically is that tells people that it's definitely going to be a clean show, so they can bring their entire family. So they know that if I'm a Christian first and then a comedian, they know that I'm not going to be doing jokes that are going to make people uncomfortable, or people can bring their kids to my show. And about 80% of my shows are in churches because it is all family friendly stuff. And most comics, they talk about their life. You know, that's where they get all their material. And so if I'm living my life as a Christian, then a lot of my stuff that I talk about on stage comes from just being a Christian. And, I still talk about, raising my kids and, how I grew up. And it's funny because the same show that I do in churches, I do in comedy clubs, but it's just always clean. So whenever you see Christian comedian, hopefully that tells you that, okay, this is going to be a clean show that I can bring my neighbors or I can bring my kids to and not worry about, laughing at something, but then feeling bad about laughing at it afterwards.
How did you become a comedian, especially a Christian comedian?
Well, that's a great question. I actually was getting my degree in elementary education. I was going to be a teacher, and I saw this stand-up competition they had at my college my junior year, and so I entered it just because the prize money was $500, and I went to college out in West Texas. So $500 in West Texas was like 6 months rent.
Yeah.
So I wanted to win that contest. I never thought I could do stand up as a career, but I did that one contest. I won, not because I was even good. Everybody else was just terrible. And so I won. I got $500. I thought, what a great experience. I'll be able to, tell my grandkids, years later, I once won a stand-up competition. And so I finished and got my degree. I was getting ready to teach, but before I became a teacher, I wanted to see what it was like to actually make money. And since teachers don't really make a lot of money, I got a job as a photographer in Dallas, and I was going to do that for 1 year so I could pay off my college and, kind of be debt-free. And so I was doing photography in Dallas, and a guy, and actually, this is going to tell the listeners how old I am, but a guy paged me. I had a pager, if people remember what that is. And yep. I looked at the number, and it was area code 615. And so I pulled over. I was actually driving at the time, and I pulled over at a Cracker Barrel payphone and called this number. And I thought it was about photography. And he said, "Hey, I don't know if you remember me, but I used to go to school with you. And I'm now a road manager for a Christian singer named Clay Cross. And we're getting ready to leave for tour. And Clay, the singer, said it'd be fun to have a comedian come out and kind of keep the crowd entertained in between the musical act." And this road manager guy said, "I actually saw you do stand-up in college at a stand-up competition, and I thought you were good. So I don't know what you're doing, but do you want to go on tour with us?" And I literally was standing at a Cracker Barrel payphone, not realizing that it was about to change my life. And so I asked him how long the tour was, and I just very casually just said, "Okay, yeah, I'll do that." Because I thought, honestly, I would, get out, and a week later into the tour, they would send me home for, not being funny or something. And I booked a flight from Dallas, Texas to Nashville, and I got off a plane and I got on a tour bus and I just went out.
How long have you done it now?
And I feel so young, and so whenever I have to answer this question, I always like just pause, but I've been doing stand-up comedy for 27 years. And I knew my hotel shampoo collection was massive, so I knew I'd been doing it for a long time, but yeah. This is, but to say 27 years just sounds so crazy. But yeah, this is right at my 27th year of traveling around and making people laugh.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You obviously enjoy it.
It means getting a real job.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I was in radio for 63 years, so I can commiserate. especially with the part about not making money.
Yeah.
The interesting that there is such a differentiation and a delineation between Christian comedy and general comedy? Is it strictly because the material is clean, or is it the tenor of the jokes overall?
It's a, well, that's a great question because it's kind of changed throughout the years. When I first started, there were four or five quote-unquote Christian comedians that were, you know, had made a name for themselves, and they were touring, and they were doing ticketed events, and, you know, they were selling out churches and theaters and stuff. But then there was just a bunch of people that wanted to do comedy, and so they would label themselves a Christian comedian and try to get on at churches to do stuff. And so when I first started, whenever you said Christian comedian, a lot of people thought very cheesy, not real comedy. So you got real comedy at the comedy club, and if you saw a Christian comedian, it was usually, you know, cheesy, or, you know, the running gag was, oh, great, now bring out the puppets. You know, they thought it was like a little puppet show or something like that. And now, throughout the years, there has been just some of the best comedians working in the world are Christian comedians. You know, my best friend is a guy named Tim Hawkins, and, you know, he sells out 3,000, 4,000 seat venues every weekend. And, you know, John Frist is a good friend of mine. And, you know, these guys who are Christians and they're doing comedy, and their comedy is phenomenal. Like, it's really good. So there's, you know, now there's a bunch of Christian comedians out there working that are really good. So the difference between a club comedian and a Christian comedian, where it used to be maybe not as good of comedy, now I think it's as good as any other comedian or better, but it just kind of tells you that it's clean material. Like, you're not gonna come and listen to somebody, you know, for an hour and feel like you got to take a shower afterwards.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just it's a little more wholesome comedy.
What kind of jokes can you tell?
Pretty much anything, because like I said earlier, you know, comedians talk about their life, so I just talk about my life. I talk about growing up. I grew up in a really small town, and I grew up hunting with my dad, and so I talk a lot about that. I talk about, you know, my wife and I have five tax deductions, all boys, so I get a lot of material from my kids. Yeah. And a question I get a lot is, do your kids like when you talk about them? My kids will do something crazy, or, you know, let's just go ahead and call it dumb. They'll do some dumb thing, and they'll stop and look at me and go, hey, is that good enough to get on your, you know, in your material? My kids actually love when, yeah, I talk about them, because then their friends think it's cool. You know, it's almost like gives my kids some street cred.
How old are they?
We've got all the way from 13 to, sorry, my dogs are barking there.
Okay.
We can't afford a doorbell, so we had to get a, yeah, dog. My kids are 13 through 21.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a broad spread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like I told you before, yeah, it's a very loud but fun house. And the two oldest ones are actually out of the house, but they're home all the time.
That can either be good or bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love that they want to be home, but, they always come home with a big giant stack. I call them laundry claws, because they come in the house and it looks like they're bringing gifts, but they're actually just bringing their laundry to come over and do it.
Well, it's nice enough that they're close to be able to do that.
Yeah.
What, you're going to be in Buffalo this weekend?
Yes, sir. I'll be in Buffalo at the high school for a men's conference on the 13th, this Saturday.
Now, the men's conference is by Summit Church in Buffalo, I assume.
Yep, that's correct.
What are you going to do with the men's conference?
I'm going to do a stand-up comedy, unless they don't like it, and then, I don't know, I can also juggle. I'll, yeah, do whatever to keep them entertained, but I plan on doing an hour of stand-up comedy for them.
Okay, so you're going to do a full-hour show.
Yes, sir.
Is it as an icebreaker for the conference, or is it?
No, the conference, the men's conference is actually a morning thing. It starts at 8 a.m. and I believe it's over by 1 p.m. So we're going to have donuts and coffee, and they got, you know, I think some icebreaker game stuff and, you know, just some fun things. And then there's a speaker. And then after the speaker, then I'm going to come on and do my show, and then we'll have lunch. You know, you can't have a men's conference without like really good food. And then I think we're going to have cornhole tournament. I think we're having a cornhole tournament. So I'm sure I'll get to see a couple of fist fights by some churchgoers. It's always interesting whenever you put competition at a men's conference. But yeah, so it's actually going to be over with, I think, by 1 p.m. So it's a morning thing, but they really try to pack it out with as much fun as possible.
Have you done these before?
I've done several men's conferences. I've never done this one, but yes, sir. So what are we in May? I've probably done 8 or 9 men's conferences this year so far.
Oh, okay. This is not a unique experience by any means.
No, and I love it because you were asking me what kind of material I do. When I get just a group of men together, then that allows me to talk about being married and talk about in-laws and talk about things that I may not do at my normal shows, because, you know, if you're sitting next to your wife and I make an in-law joke, you know, you really can't laugh, or you got a long car ride home. So these men's conferences are kind of a little bit more freeing for me.
You say that the comedy covers the entire gamut of life experience.
Yes, sir.
Do you do religious jokes as well?
I do. I do have stories about me in church. When I was a little kid, I used to get in trouble quite a bit at church, so I'll have stories about that. I will have, and I do talk about my faith. You know, I've got a couple of stories that are funny stand-up stories, but also kind of make a little encouraging message to them. And so if it's the right event, I will put that in as well. You know, and so I guess that's another thing that makes you a Christian comedian is, you know, if people are coming to my shows and they know I'm a Christian, then they're not going to be surprised if I do talk about God or talk about, you know, my faith or anything, you know, throughout the show. But obviously my first job as a comedian is to make them laugh. But I do have some material about, you know, when I was a churchgoer as a kid and being in my youth group and stuff like that.
It's a living for you.
It's a living, yes, yeah.
And you enjoy it.
I really do. I love it. I love that families can come and watch my show together. I did a show, like I said, in Amarillo this last weekend, and I looked down, and there was a grandma sitting next to her grandson, and her grandson was goth. Do you know what I mean when I say goth?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he had all the face piercings, and he actually looked like he fell face first into a tackle box. And he was sitting by his grandmother, and she had a little walker in front of her. And when they would laugh, she would bang her walker up and down while she was laughing. And they were leaning on each other laughing. And I remember looking at these two people thinking, you don't get more diverse as far as generations of this young goth kid and a grandmother, and yet they're just having a blast laughing together at stuff. And, you know, moments like that really make me appreciate what I do and, you know, what I get to be a part of. And so I thoroughly enjoy it.
Do you have an opportunity to play regular clubs?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'll do comedy clubs every once in a while. The truth behind it all is I stay in demand with churches all year. And because I do have a family, I only do a certain number of shows a year. So, you know, once those fill up. So I really try to do churches. And churches are bigger, so I can get a bigger crowd than a comedy club.
Is there a particular religious direction to which you go?
No, I mean, I grew up Church of Christ, and went to a Church of Christ college, and so I definitely know Church of Christ more than other denominations, or I did when I first started doing this, but now I think I've done probably every, you know, type of church throughout the years that you can do. I've done, you know, Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran. You know, I've been in many, many different church denominations. So I feel like I'm immersed in all of them.
You find them significantly different from one another?
No, sir. I do find the crowds are significantly different in what part of the country I'm in. So if I'm up north, and especially New England, they are, they don't like to give up their laughs as easy.
Yeah.
You know, you play in the South and they're laughing for a long time. I can go to Mississippi and I can do a 30-minute show that lasts an hour, but I can go up to New England and I've got to do an hour and a half show to make it an hour. Because the Southerners are laughing and they're laughing long and they're hitting each other and all that. In New England, I'll tell a joke and they'll go, ha, 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 okay, what next? Like, you know, like it's just very, it's really hard to break them. And, you know, but you go down the South and man, they're just ready for a good time and are big laughers. So that's the only big difference is the geography of it all. But pretty much all church people are, you know, they're joyful and ready to laugh.
Well, Bob, thank you very much.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It was this or mow the lawn. And so I told my kids they had to do it because I had to work. So
yeah.
I appreciate you making that true today.
Oh, you bet. Well, you've got boys who can mow the lawn.
Yeah, I do.
That's the good thing about having boys.
That's the only... Oh, wait a minute. Did I say that? That's one of the many. Let me... Yeah, we can edit that, I'm sure.
Yeah. I have a daughter who, at a very young age, learned to change tires. And loves doing it.
Mm-hmm.
She threw hay when she was 6 years old, 50-pound bales, and loved it. She's built fence and fixed fence. She's as good as any boy I've ever seen.
Well, see, I taught my boys how to change tires, but then I had to tell them not to do it at the neighbor's house because they were sneaking out. And, you know, so I got a little more parenting wisdom that I need to glean before.
Yeah, I understand that. Well, Bob, thank you very much.
Yeah, and I hope any of the men listening to this, if they want to come to the conference in Buffalo this Saturday, there's a link on my website. My website is bobsmiley.com, which I'm sure is your homepage. And they can just go there and they can sign up.
All right. That's great. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate having me on.
You bet.